You are now listening to the Purpose Edit podcast.
You got to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to have the ability to self-assess, and not everybody has the ability to self-assess.
You don't necessarily have to like school to be successful in school. You just have to know how to play the game and finesse it and get through it.
Welcome to the Purpose Edit podcast. This is a short yet powerful conversation designed to help you do three things that can ultimately change the trajectory of your life. One, discover your purpose. Two, walk in your purpose. And three, ultimately fulfill your purpose. I am your host, Coach Vic, and I'm joined as always by my lifelong friend, my brother, the educator, Dr. Shane Calhoun.
What up, man?
What up, bro?
Bruh, I know we said this last time kind of offline, but to that point again, every time I hear that intro, I don't know about you, but I go back to the very first time that I heard it when you said, record an intro, just give me a vocal and I'll put a beat to it. And then when you send it back to me, like that moment, like I remember when it came through, like that intro is so hard.
I appreciate it. I need to, it didn't hit me this time. I was thinking about something else. It was actually from an album, an instrumental album that I wanted to record, that I wanted to name the album Angry Superhero Music.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That is absolutely angry superhero music.
Yeah, I may still go back and do that one day. But that was
angry. I need to figure out if I can take that with me when I go speak.
There you go again.
DC next month. I wonder if I can have that be my intro when they introduce me.
Oh, the music?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, like I think I don't know if I should say this on air, but I saw that email about being a guest speaker, about being on another pod.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's go individually. And I think the more, like, I'm working on something the other day, and in the title, I put, basically everything I put Doc, co-host of the Purpose Addicts podcast. I literally put that in everything now, so... Outside of academic stuff, of course, but co-host of the Purpose Addict podcast. So yeah, if you want me to send you the instrumental and see if you can, when they introduce you, if they can play that music.
Oh, I got it. Oh, I got it. Yeah, I have it from when you sent it to me the very first time. First off, you named it Victory, which is so fitting, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense. So yeah. I got it. I got to figure out logistically when I get there and do sound check, if it's possible. That's what I got to figure out.
Do it. That's dope. Yeah,
that would be dope. But now let's address another issue. You say separate. Are you trying to separate from us? Are you trying to go your own path? What's happening?
No, mister. I'm going to Boston next week to do an individual presentation.
First off, I'm not going to Boston.
All right.
I'm going to DC.
Okay.
You are always invited. You have a permanent invitation.
I appreciate it.
And this is for the same crew that you were already linked to that I said.
And I haven't capitalized. I haven't capitalized. You're right. 100%. Yeah, you're right. So no, we're not linked.
That's right.
I take that back.
Apart, my key.
Yeah, we're not separate. We're not separate, but I think the way we've designed the pod for other people that may not know is that this is kind of the launching pad. It's like home base.
Yeah.
And it launches all of our other individual things. So whereas we are the Purpose Addicts and we have the Purpose Addicts podcast, there are things that Coach Vic does and there are things that Dr. Calhoun does or whoever I'm going by that week. And I think that's the beauty of it. I mean, of course, there should be, it'd be great to be a world where there were joint projects, but if the only joint project we ever did was
the pod,
that'd be fine too. Because it may be, for all they know, we may be providing services for each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not, you know what? That did sound weird. So don't say that. No
my more. Bad. I no. mean, like, whatever. I'm leaving that alone. Yeah. Go ahead.
But you know what, though? It's kind of like the conversation that was happening on social media this week where people were like chiming in, trying to pick a side, but they were staying neutral. I won't say no names, but I'm sure you're listening and you know who you are. But it's like that. Like you get, and people have said that in giving feedback all these years, like the two of us come across as opposite yet the same, and you can feel that. So depending on who you are and your style, you might be a little more doc or you might be a little more coach. Mm-hmm. But basically, our dynamic allows for us to connect to a broader audience. And yeah, you're right. We don't have to do joint stuff, or at least the joint stuff that we're doing, we don't have to be public about it. You ain't got to tell everybody your moves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So like assets over liabilities, those guys, they seem to be very joint at the hip. They may have other stuff going on, but they seem to be very joint at the hip, which is cool. But I think this is more so, I think we've agreed that this is more so a launching pad. By the way, I got to send that account number to you. It just hit me.
Yeah.
I got to work on that. What do you think about John Morant?
At first, I was like, this fool, come on, you kidding me? Not this close to the first incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We hadn't even got a full 6 months away from it. But then I saw JJ Redick's comments, and that's when it dawned on me, which I think where you might be going with today's topic, I'm probably in the same boat. So I'll reserve the rest of my comment until I hear you.
No, the topic doesn't have to do okay. with this. However, okay. I did actually share JJ Redick's commentary.
I saw that.
About the Abbott and all of these governors and politicians taking pictures with guns and yada, yada, yada. And at first, when I posted it, I was, but I too got a different perspective of that. Two things. One, the phrase new money, old money. Okay. Fair or unfair, people that look like us, the rules ain't the same.
Unfair, totally. But that don't mean that it ain't the truth.
The truth. That it, so it's 100%. So whereas people, the dominant culture, that's old money. It passes down. They've been in, we knew money. The other part about it is all of those guys that are posting with the ARs, they're lobbyists and making money off the NRA. You're losing money because you work for a private company. It's a false equivalency. Although I do agree that there's a level of hypocrisy in the two photos where they're doing it over there. The difference is they're getting paid to do that. Their pockets are getting lined to do that. You're losing money to do that. So therefore, you're putting street cred and looking cool on the gram over providing for generations in your family.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I will say, and there's this narrative that is different on both sides. If we were looking at these two things as marketing strategies, in the black and brown community, the narrative around guns is related to all negative things.
Brilliant.
In the white community, or people who are not of color, the narrative around them is, this is what we do. We teach our kids to hunt, gun ownership. It's about the amendment, the rights.
Yeah. So now we're talking about culture.
We're talking about culture. It's bigger than working for or lobbying for, you know what I'm saying? It's a narrative that is woven into our culture around it. And both sides play into it. Even though there are people who are of color who are lobbyists for the NRA, and there are people who are not of color who are attached to that negative narrative that's associated with guns as well. Like, it's just a matter of which when you see a gun and the person's color, which narrative do you tell the two?
Yeah, that's sad but true.
Sad but true. So when you ask fair or unfair, immediately unfair. I knew where you was going before you asked. It's unfair.
Yeah, it's very unfair.
I also think though that we as a people, both people of color, and I'm just talking about society, we as a people are well aware of these narratives and we choose to buy into them and perpetuate them. And so back to the reaction to Ja, I'm still pissed off.
Yes.
I'm still mad at you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my feelings is Ja's a complete idiot. I mean, just you're a, I mean, he's a, just making bad decisions. None of us are exempt
from making bad decisions. We all make bad decisions.
Yes.
And we will continue to make bad decisions. However, bro, you can't keep making the same bad decision.
No, you can't. You can't.
You can't.
That, and that's the problem. You're this is, you know, one time it's a mistake, two times that damn near might be a habit.
So other people are raising this question. Mm-hmm. Is it him making the bad mistake or is it the people around him who don't really have his back setting him up?
And that man 23 years old, bro. We all weren't making great decisions at 23, but yo, at what point do people become accountable for their actions?
At what point do people become accountable for their circle?
That's still your dumb self making the decision.
I get that. So if, what's his name? I'm trying to think. I forget the rapper. Big Sean said in a song, I had people in my square that wasn't in my circle.
But meanwhile, I'm in the square. I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off.
And I think that there are people around him who, I heard Lil Wayne say this on a pod about Ja in response. He said, when I was coming up and I was the one with the money, my friends, my homeboys, they were still in the streets. When they were with me, when we were together, like Ja is with his boys, oh, they living good, right? Because these are my boys. We going to party. But they ain't the ones with the money. I got the money. But when I got to go handle business, they got to go back to their regular lives, getting it how you live. And because of that dynamic, it may feel like and look like people got your back, but you got to remember when they come around you is the only time that they get to live like that. So do they really have your back or is it crabs in a bucket who say, well, you need to come back since come I got to go back to this, you got to come back.
I haven't thought about that point of view.
I wonder if there's some snakes in the grass. How does this happen so close to each other?
You're right. Something ain't right.
Sound like a setup. Something don't smell right, bro. Yeah,
something don't smell right. You're right. Well, I just hope he gets it together, man. They said he's already lost $40 million behind this because the All-NBA team, there was like a $40 million bonus into him. So I'll hopefully get it right, man.
Hey, this too shall pass.
Yes, sir.
What's the purpose of today?
All right, so kind of what blew my mind talking through Sharp Money, right? We had a minor debate. So when we were talking about it, we came to a consensus, and the consensus that I believe we came to was that time is what determines what short money we should take, and the middle of the road is, don't pass up opportunity just because of the money may be short. So it, as opposed to waiting out for that big cut, start somewhere. Don't start because it's not where you don't want it to be.
Yeah. The middle of the road with time and timing.
Time and timing. Okay. Yeah. So I was thinking, and this just may 100% be me, where I am at in life. I think what bothered me about the conversation, and not even bothered me, I think for the most part, we agree. For the most part, we agree. I understand that you can't spend time, you can't stay at a certain level forever. But I think what was getting me was just the cliche, sharp money. I think a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times, and I think I referenced it, like the know your worth, the
give you
the fly. I think what was really irking me in the conversation was, I think we're in this place where everybody has a microphone, and this is hypocrite number one. because we're on a pod spewing our opinions. We all have these wild opinions and we're all looking for these cute punchlines to go viral and to be quick and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, where we just throw stuff out. And like we were talking about earlier, the package is not so much what you say as how you say it. And we just throw these things out just to be cute, but we're not really teaching nothing. We're not really saying nothing other than a cool thing to be quoted and sound good on the internet. And I think that was what was really getting me. Like, I just don't think we was teaching nothing. Although we came up with these points, I don't think that most people, when you give these real prolific statements, quote unquote, are digging deep enough to really actually help people.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody's going below the surface because, to your point, their motives are wrong to begin with. If your motive was to put a phrase out to go viral and catch attention, then mission accomplished.
Yeah, and but I mean, I see it all the time. Like, pastors are the worst at it. Like, you know, just, we see it all the time. So, again, I'm a hypocrite because we're on a podcast, right? And we just spew our opinion, which is
so cool. So then at this point, that brings up the question, do you feel like we've gone beyond the surface and actually teach people?
Now we're getting. I think we need to go deeper.
I need to go deeper?
Even deeper. And I mean, I can, because I got more on this. But yeah, I think that, you know,
I caught heat about your side. Like, not even caught heat. I had people reaching out to me, man, what's wrong with Doc? How come he don't see his own value? Doc's got to see his own value. I got people asking.
Yeah, we different. Somebody else hit me up about that. I got a message and they said you eventually made it there at the end. Somebody said they was screaming at the end of the episode. I realized this today. I'm using this phrase because I don't have another way to put it.
Okay.
I don't have that. I want to use the word snake, but I don't have a killer instinct in terms of, being fair is important to me. Meaning, I go to a buffet, I'm going to take all I can eat, not all I can take. And I'm learning that's actually a detriment. To some people, it may be a detriment. If you're telling me you're catching heat about my value, it's a detriment. It's a detriment because I've heard this more than one time.
So I ended up defending you in every instance that came my way. But what I said in relation to that was, I've learned that just because you go about it in a way that's different than how I might go about it, don't make it less lethal and don't mean that your value, you don't see it. You're very strategic. You're very strategic. But that principle that you just said, I think also speaks to the fact that that's evidence that we do go beyond the surface. We do teach people that you can go to the buffet and get all that you can eat, but you don't have to get all that you can take. That ain't just a catchy line. Like, that's actually food for thought. Like people actually have to think about that when they get into situations where they could quote a price that's based on their value. You could quote $10,000 because your experience and your education says that that's justified. But you don't, because as a man of principle and integrity, you quote what's fair for the time and the timing of the opportunity.
100%. Like,
that's deeper than the surface.
That is deeper to the surface. But I want to actually take you a little deeper. And so, like, all right. So let's true story. We've already talked about your field, my field. Keynote quotes are totally different. Like, the prices, the market is totally different. Okay, so I've done 45 minute speaking engagement and have pocketed $1,250. Okay. let's say speak 45. Let's say it took me, I'm going to be super modest. Let's say it took me 5 hours to prep, which it didn't, because I probably did it at the last minute. And let's say, so a total of 6 hours, right? So 1250 divided by six is essentially $208.33 an hour. Mm-hmm. I am worth $208.33 an hour. So does that mean I don't work for less than $208.33 an hour? Okay. So the other day I got a phone call from a friend and they was like, hey, would you like to serve as a judge for a solo and ensemble? You can come out, you can do it. And we're going to pay you. Oh, absolutely. I'll come. Started at 8 a.m. Didn't finish until 4. My lunch break, didn't even get a lunch break because they ran over. So I had to cover somebody. At the end of the day, I made $150. I made less, $18.75 an hour. So I made less an hour, less for 8 hours than I did in an hour on this other gig. Don't do those gigs no more. Let me tell you what I gained, though. I'm asking you. I mean, that's a question. While I was there, one, it's going on my APR for my job.
Yeah.
I get credit toward tenure. I get credit towards tenure. Two, I was able to do some recruiting. Three, while I was there, I picked up another job to teach for 2 weeks and make 75% of my monthly salary. Network. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So for me, whereas, like, did I make my quote unquote worth? Absolutely not.
The deeper conversation here is, how do you define compensation?
That is a deeper conversation. How do you define compensation? I was thinking the next layer would be, how do you make the decision? And although we talked about time, I think time is still very vague.
Absolutely.
How do you make the decision on what to take, what not to take? And then that will take me to the next way where I'm being a complete and total hypocrite. I don't know how to define compensation. Talk to me.
Compensation, and we can Google it too while we're having this conversation. Define compensation. Without knowing what the definition is, compensation, in my opinion, is what you will get in return in exchange for services and or product rendered, right? So in your examples, the first example, you got paid $208.33 an hour for an hour, but you didn't describe or talk about gaining anything else from that experience. So the compensation in that experience was the money. But in this other opportunity, the compensation, in addition to the money, was the other gig, the referral, the networking. And so the question is, did I get equitably and fairly compensated for my time? And that's the deeper level behind the short versus long money.
And this is the other reason why I'm willing to go to the buffet, get all I can eat, not what I can take.
Absolutely.
Because, and it's just me being me, and I don't know if I've said it on this pod before, but I know I've said it to you. I do not put a premium on money. Money is not, that's just, again, guys, this is just a personal quote of it. I know we need money to live. I know we want to build generational wealth. I know it, but I am not driven. I am a person that is not driven by money. Okay? If I was driven by money, I would not be a school teacher, people.
I'm driven by impact. That's what makes a person a purpose addict.
Thank you. And so it's not so much that I am selling myself short as much as it is I'm just being true to who I am, which in some cases to some it may come across as if, but there's always a bigger play.
Absolutely. There's a bigger play, and you'll be able to see it as they tell you to be sure to get your value.
Yes.
But what they don't say in the rest of that statement or instructions is get your value, know what's of value, and stand on your values. That's the social media viral statement there. They ain't telling you that part of the instructions. They just having you stop at get your value.
Say that again, because I still think you missed one.
Okay. Get your value.
What do you mean get your value?
Whatever compensation is to you.
Okay.
Know what's of value, because
of value.
That's going to help you to identify appropriate compensation. Is it networking? Is it money? Is it whatever? And then stand on your values, because even though you may know your worth and know what's important and know what's of value, people are going to challenge that. And if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So you got to know your values, like being a man or a woman who is of integrity, who's fair, who goes to the buffet and gets all they can eat, not all they can take. Stand on your values. I will never do blank because I believe blank. You have to know that.
Okay. And I wrote that down. And the reason why I said I think he was missing one is, where does the focus of adding value fit? Because I wanted to put that in front of getting your value.
You know what? You're right. I missed that one, because all of what I described was about you getting.
But the buffet analogy says I'm taking.
What did you leave at the buffet?
And again, it goes back to, and I'm not trying to
We're
make
both
this
hypocrites.
I'm not trying to make this a Mother Teresa view of shame, but I'm giving you an insight into the way I think and I process things. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm putting adding value at the top and at the front. You know what I'm saying? And
because you don't want to show up to a space and don't give them nothing. Like, the whole point of them reaching out to you is because they're saying, we believe you have value to bring to us. But at the same time, you have to make sure that your platforms align.
Gotcha.
And I do it too. When I'm talking with someone who says, hey, will you come speak? My first questions, and it was probably my first 10 questions, are all around, tell me about what you're trying to accomplish, who's your audience, what does success look like if this was over, whether it would be me or anybody you bring on. I need to know all of that, because I need to know if I am the right person to give you what you're looking for. Because I've said no to opportunities, even though they were willing to pay and still bring me on, I didn't feel like I could bring value to their crew. So I said no to the opportunity.
There you go. That's good. Okay. So that's one leg of the digging deep. And this is where I can tell you I'm about to be a freaking hypocrite.
Oh, Lord.
Man, I'm about to shut down this custom tea business for a little bit. That $20 don't mean nothing to me right now.
Whoa.
That $20 don't mean nothing to me right now.
Hold on. Because we can't give too many details, folks.
Yeah.
But what I will say, folks, is I am jealous of the business he's created. I am trying to learn from this young brother in what he's doing in the t-shirt game. He is silently and quietly making moves. And so to hear that I'm about to shut this down, and this, when he don't just say stuff for the sake of the gram.
Yeah.
There is some logic and some real thought and consideration behind this. So let's lean in.
Okay.
You got to do what?
I'm custom tees. Hey, Doc, can you do this such and such design for me? Hey, Doc, I need 28 shirts. I'm getting off of that. And quote unquote, I said I didn't want the little $20, and I did say that was short money, and we're talking about short money, and this is the piece when we talk about short money. First, we mentioned your values. The next layer is, does it align with your goals?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, my three goals, I have three goals. Build up my passive income streams and semi-passive streams, meaning I have to do a lot of work up front one time, but then it's done. Spend more time with my son. Continue to build out my profile as a music educator professional. Spending hours weeding is not in line with that right now. I'm not saying I'm done doing it, but in this season, at this period of time, that does not align with my goals. So that is the quote unquote short money. And that's the deeper part. It's not about the actual dollar amount. It's one about like those principles of value. And then, does it align with where you're going right now? Does it pull you off the path of where you're going and how it fits?
Yeah.
And that's the going deep I'm talking about. I'm just not telling you it's not about time. It's about timing. I'm breaking it down and I'm telling you what part of the timing and timing does it fit?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of the quote where they say, sometimes people can't see the forest for the trees.
Forest for the trees.
Which, for those who don't know what that means, sometimes people can't see the bigger picture because they are so narrowly focused on a particular thing. They can't see the larger impact that it's having or causing on them and or the people they care about. Mm-hmm. And so for you to be able to zoom in to 50 feet and also have the capability to zoom out 50,000 feet speaks to what an effective leader does. That is a skill set that every leader, and let me go a step further and say, leaders aren't just people who lead other people. We are all first leaders of ourselves. So you got to be able to see the forest and the trees just with yourself in the direction you're going, level deeper. But for you as a leader, that is great perspective. They call that vision. And vision is a key leadership characteristic that every great leader works on and develops. Vision turns into scope. It is the one characteristic in leadership development where you have to be equally balanced between having narrow focus, getting in the weeds to dissect and find out and surface the issue, as well as go to the other end of the spectrum and say, I see the larger strategy, impact, and bigger picture. You got to be balanced in scope. Everything else, you could be skewed one way, except scope.
That's good.
That's all based on vision, though.
That's good. So, you know, today I sat in a gym. We had I was judging a talent show at Los Chipoca. And if there were 150 people in there, I guarantee you there was at least 50 people that was wearing something that was produced out of my shop. And I'm just looking around like, oh, damn, I did that. Oh, shoot, I did that. You know what I'm saying? Well, like,
I got to ask a question. That is evidence of impact.
Yeah.
Is the t-shirts short money?
The key is, it's the short money right now. I back off of this for a month, take care of my passive stuff. Not only do I accomplish a couple more goals, dreams, quote unquote, now I'm able to create more income to even push the custom stuff a little further.
Yeah.
You know, I believe in like, I want to hire somebody, bro. I want employees. That's my, you know what I'm saying?
That's big.
That's my goal. That's my freaking goal. I want employees. I want people that are working, not going to use for, that are working with me. That we run. It's like I get a kick out of helping others. What other ways can you help others? What equates to a providing economy for other people?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my goal. That's the dream. So the only way I'm gonna get there is if I got more work than I can do. And just taking this 3 months, not even 3 months, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, might be a week, just to focus, get this other thing out of the way, and then maybe come back to it.
It's playing chess. It's I'm willing to sacrifice a piece on the board, a pawn, in order to get this larger advantage in the game. Mm-hmm. And some people can't do that because they allow the things that they get involved with, whether it be short or long money, to kidnap them from their purpose, from what matters most to them. And by the time that they do realize and they do try to pull themselves out of it, it really is too late. They're too committed. They veered off course too far, and they can't find their way or see their way back. And that's the unfortunate part.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and I just say, that's why I thought it was important that we broke down this idea of short money, because saying short money, you're going to have somebody turn down $22 an hour when they only make $11 an hour working 40 hours a week for somebody else.
Yeah.
Thinking that they really want $60 an hour.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, how does it line? How does it line up? Why are we making these decisions?
Yeah. I'll add last tidbit on evaluating compensation, short money, what have you. Whether you're young or old, no matter where you're at in your journey, it is okay to get help. It is okay to ask for help, because what people may not know is every opportunity that comes by me, I sit down and talk with my wife. Sometimes I even bring in my kids on, should I make a decision? What decision should I make? Is this short money? I'm asking them, what am I not seeing in this opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely perfectly okay to get other opinions. But in that, make sure you trust the intentions of the people that you would seek their opinion on. Don't just ask everybody. Don't just ask the first person because it's on your mind that you see. Mm-hmm. Actually have advisors, a team of people that, here's how I need your help. And continue to go to them and share with them why you go to them. Mm-hmm. That's what you absolutely have to have. You can't do this by yourself. I don't care who you are.
Yep. Success doesn't happen in a bubble.
No, it don't.
It doesn't happen in a bubble. I've said this several times. It might have been a year plus now. That lunch that I went to with Sabrina and Richie flipped my life upside down. So, you know, it was just
every time I see what they're doing or just talk to them briefly.
Yeah.
They blow your mind with something else that they're doing. And it's like, I keep telling myself, and Sabrina and Richie, I know y'all listening. I have not stopped telling myself, oh, I got to follow up with y'all, because y'all have shared some gems with me, with us, that I'm like, okay, I just got to get there. I'm just trying to get me in and my family in a place that we're situated that I can actually sit down and digest it, because it wouldn't do me any good if I'm just in the hustle and bustle and say, all right, tell me, teach me. I ain't going to do nothing with it. I want to get to a place where I can do something with it.
And that's kind of how I feel about Daniel. Well, I haven't reached out wholeheartedly to him too, because when like he was, that was who hit me up and was like, dude, what's up with your worth? Like when I call him, I want to make sure that I am mentally there, that whatever he tells me, I can do right then and there.
Yeah, I can receive that. I can receive it. I just want to be able to receive it. Hey, you know what?
I appreciate you pushing. I appreciate you pushing beyond the surface. I always say that people are iceberg deep. We look like we far apart on top of the surface, but really and truly, underneath the surface, we probably 6 inches apart. You got to get below the surface in order to see that. So I appreciate you pushing to go deep. All right. You kind of already shared a little bit about your recent footwork, but what else do you want the people to know or how to connect with you?
We're a week out, baby. 5/26. The Producers of Pop is out. It's summer vacation, so you may need to keep your kids occupied with some busy work and make them learn a little bit. It's going to be out on F-Flat Publishing on 5/26. If you have a music friend, a music producer, just tell them, get it. We want it. We need it. Yes. What about you?
That's what's up. That's what's up. Profile District. I got on our merch today.
I noticed that. I meant to say nice Profile District.
Man, we are actually growing. One step further that I'm doing is I'm beating the streets, man. I'm getting up in the morning and I'm going to go talk to some local businesses. Had this revelation, and I'll share this, Jim. Anybody, it could work for you. I don't know. It might. Talking with my son about lead generation. You got to find leads to feed your business. I said, what's a resource that you might use? We landed on Google. I said, you ever thought about Google Maps? He said, no, why would I use Google Maps? I said, let me ask you something. How many businesses you think are within a 10-mile radius of where we live? You go, I don't know, probably a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand. I said, how do you find out where they are in proximity to where we live? Google Maps. When you zoom in, it'll show you businesses and the names. And so that's Chico. Just a 10-mile radius. Chico.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. So
that's what I'm doing, man. I am going to source businesses just starting with a 10-mile radius around my house, and then I will expand that because there are so many hidden gems and hidden opportunities that you just – may never know about. So we grow in Profile District. We serious about this thing. If you are in need of custom apparel design work, whether it be advertising for your company or you just want some ready to wear clothing, Profile District, P-R-O-F-Y-L district.com. Holla at us, man. I promise you, we got some dope stuff. You ready to get out of here, homie?
Yep.
All right, let's do this. I sent you this quote, I think last night.
Yesterday, yeah.
And I think now having today's conversation, this is fitting. So, word of the day. Most people don't want to be a part of the process. They just want to be a part of the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't want to be a part of the process. They just want to be a part of the outcome. So, for our purpose addicts listening, what type of person are you? If you're the type of person that wants to be a part of the outcomes and not the process, then you got to figure something else out with your life. You're not doing it right. You're not going about it the right way, and you got to change direction while you still can. From the Purpose Addicts to you, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for rocking with us. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, share the show, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, and possibly tell a police officer. I'm Coach. That's Doc. We out.
And I think a lot of times everybody's not going to understand your vision, your walk, your purpose, your desires, your dreams, your goals. And they don't have to, because I'm going to tell you a secret. Everybody ready? It's yours. It don't belong to them. It ain't they teeth to brush. Ain't they armpits to put deodorant on. It's yours.
This message is for anyone who is not answering the calling on their life. I want you to take note of something. That one thing, that one talent, that one gift you have, that idea that could give birth to a solution that possibly brings harmony to the world, will never get the chance to breathe life if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. That's right, I said, if you continue to let fear kidnap you from your future. Too many times we settle for good things when we can have God things.
and purpose is a God-given gift. Not everybody fulfills their purpose. Not everybody discovers it. Not everybody walks in it. But if you're willing to give up the good things to get to the God things, well, baby, I promise you, purpose, that's for you.
Failure is a part of success. I heard that somewhere. I didn't make that one. Failure is a part of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I love it. You could try 10 times and you may not get it to your ninth, but what if that ninth try or that 10th try is the one that gets you that million? Instead of looking at what we have on the inside and utilizing our tools, we always look in other places and try to pull from there, pull from there, when most of the time it's right here inside of. There are no problems. There's only solutions. Let's just be in a habit of fixing things or finding a way out.
My favorite quote that I learned is that fear does not stop death, it stops life. It stops us from living. And I need you. We all need you to live. Will you do it?